You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson. I'm joined again by my co-host, the legendary Olin Pulley, and the biggest Purdue fan I know, Garrett Burkle. Say hi, fellas.
It's good.
Last but not least, filling in for DJ Trey today is the one and only Maxwell Gilley. How are you doing today, Max?
I am doing good. It is great to be here.
Now let's dive into your NASCAR news. Max, I'm just going to ask you a few questions and just, you know, about the champions and stuff like that. So what were your thoughts on Zane Smith being crowned the Truck Series champion? Do you think the, he much deserved, or what are your thoughts?
I mean, the biggest thing is I can't say it wasn't exactly deserved. I mean, he won the last race of the year. That's how the playoffs work. I can't say, you don't deserve to win. But, you know, I'm happy for the kid. Excited to see what he can bring to the future. Truck Series is fun.
Yeah. Ty Gibbs was crowned as the NASCAR Xfinity Series champion. What were your thoughts on that?
I was expecting Noah Gragson to win. He'd been dominant throughout the playoffs, but congrats to Ty Gibbs on getting the win. 20 years old and already an Xfinity Series champion. He's going to be moving on to Cup. We'll talk about more of that later. But as much as people may not like him, tell you what, he's a heck of a racer.
Last but not least, Joey Logano was crowned as the NASCAR Cup Series champion. Team Penske became the first team in history to have won an IndyCar championship and a NASCAR championship in the same year. What were your thoughts on Joey Logano winning the title and your thoughts on them becoming the first team in history to do that?
So I'm going to focus more on the Indy and NASCAR side of it, being the first team to do that. I think that's so impressive. I'm shocked it hasn't happened before. But, I mean, congratulations to both of them. With Will Power for IndyCar, Joey Logano for NASCAR. I mean, it proves that Joey, being a two-time champion now, his win is not going to be a fluke. Just very cool seeing him get the win.
Yeah, he's consistently making the championship four. He's been in the championship four, I don't even know. I think it was like, I know he didn't make it like 1 year, and every other year he's been like with Team Penske. I mean, he's been in that championship four battle. So Max, you have some driver changes coming to 2023. What's going on with that?
So the big thing we need to talk about is we're going to talk about Ty Gibbs, as we mentioned, the Xfinity Series champ. He replaced Kyle Busch at Joe Gibbs Racing. Everyone knew that Kyle was going to be leaving. They were wondering who it was going to be. Unsurprisingly, grandson of Joe Gibbs will be there. But what was more surprising was seeing that the 18 car is no more. Ty will be driving the 54 car. They said they wanted to separate the legacy and whatnot. Right now, we know Interstate may be a sponsor of Joe Gibbs Racing. There's one other, maybe Monster Energy, but that's all we kind of know what's going to look like for that one. I'm excited to see what he can do in the Cup Series. He wasn't doing that well, though, albeit it wasn't 2311 equipment.
Yeah, agreed.
Kurt Busch's number 45, which eventually was Bubba's old car, basically, and Bubba's car was not doing well throughout this season. He had a 23rd was the average finish in 15 races with 2311 racing for Ty Gibbs this year, but he's won 22% of the Xfinity races he's been
incredible.
In only really one full season and then a couple races the year prior. So I'm excited to see what Ty Gibbs can look like. And the other big news, we've been wondering this, Stuart Haas Racing, the 41 car.
Yeah, it came out, like there was like a whole article, like my Uncle Jeff, I went to my Uncle Jeff's house to talk about it. He was like, I think it was Monday, yeah. I went over and he was like, yeah, there's some news with Cole Custer getting replaced by Ryan Preece and all that, and Haley Deegan maybe going to Stuart Haas Racing, stuff like that. I was like, okay, I got to look into this. Like, what's going on with this? So I did, and the article was posted, like, I don't even know, yesterday? It was posted yesterday or a couple hours ago, I know, yesterday. So, yeah.
So the big thing is there, the 41 car will be with Ryan Preece driving it. Cole Custer has moved to the Xfinity Series, adding a second Xfinity Series car for Stuart Haas Racing. It is expected to be the 00, this reported by Bob Pockrass.
Yep.
Ryan Preece will be full-time in the 41. I think what was originally supposed to happen was Almirola was going to retire.
Yep.
Preece was going to slip in that way. That did not end up working out. He was instead a reserve driver because he didn't want to be going to a potentially worse team that could sink his career. So Congratulations to Ryan Preece. He's shown he can have some talent when he was with JTG Jordy Racing when they were in the pandemic and they didn't have a charter. He raced his way in each and every single week, so he has shown that he does have some talent. I don't expect him to win. I do think, however, he will do better than Cole Custer. Cole Custer had the one win in 2020, but which, I think that was a fluke still.
Yeah, agreed.
But the only reason he was still there is because Daddy works for Super Haas Racing, so that's why. But the big thing is we're wondering now with what will happen with Haley Deegan. They thought she was going to go to the Xfinity Series. I think she needs to stay in the Truck Series. She's not very good in the Truck Series right now, and I know you want to argue bad equipment. She was good in the ARCA. She was good in the SRX Series, but she's not ready.
Yeah.
Don't pull a Danica Patrick.
Yeah, agreed. Let me explain on that. I have more to add. I feel like the Xfinity car, I think, better suits her, but at the same time, I do think she needs to groom in the trucks as well. I'd loved to have seen her go to Stewart Haas Racing. I'm a big Tony Stewart fan. That's my favorite NASCAR driver of all time. So that's, you know, I was hoping he would go to, hoping she would go to Stewart Haas Racing in Xfinity, but that didn't happen. But, you know, the big question is Ford Performance, Bob Prochrist reported, and, you know, according to him, that the Ford, like, Ford Performance executives were like, yeah, she's going to be in a Ford truck, in a Ford, or something driving a Ford, which DGR is now Toyota, so it's, you know, how's that going to work? The only other Ford team that I know of in the Truck Series is Front Row Motorsports, and are they willing to make a second truck? Because Zane Smith drives a 38. Are they willing to make a second truck? That's the big question that I have for, you know, where's Haley Deegan going to race if she's in the trucks? If she's in Xfinity, I mean, there's a couple teams that Max is going to talk about in a little bit, but it's just like, I don't know, Max, you know what I mean?
She does have sponsorships. She has great social media deals, so that could be the reason why. She's going to find somewhere to go, that's for sure. The question is where, but you know what? It'll be interesting to see what she could do. If she goes to the Xfinity Series, she's expected to maybe join SS Greenlight Racing. She finished 13th in her lone race with them, but I don't really know yet. We'll have to wait more to see what will be happening with Haley Deegan.
We're going to dive into the Cup Series, like, stats between Ryan Preece and Cole Custer when, you know, Preece was racing in the Cup Series compared to Custer stats. So here we go. So we're going to look at, you know, average finishes, stuff like that. Custer's average finish is 20.5. He's only had 12 top 10s in his career, two top 5s, and, I mean, he won one race at Kentucky, but that was kind of a fluke. I'm going to be completely honest with you on that. That's where I'm at on that. But He had zero top fives in 2022, zero top fives in 2021, and only two top tens in 2021. I know it was a bad year for Stewart Haas, but 2022 he only had three top tens. That's not great when you're driving and, I mean, some of the best equipment in NASCAR and only getting three top tens in 2022. So, Max, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like you said, Cole Custer has just been not really consistent at all. And I know Stewart Haas, Penske is the better Ford team, but Stewart Haas, you're expected to be successful there. So it'll be interesting to see what both of them can do, but excited to see what 2023 can look like.
So we're going to look at Ryan Preece. His average finish was 24.1. That is four positions lower than Custer, and he had nine top tens in his career in the Cup Series and two top fives. So, I mean, I feel like Ryan Preece is a better driver anyway. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes in 2023. But moving on with Garrett Burkle in your IndyCar News. Take it away, Garrett.
So, I think the last time I was on, I've been sick and whatnot, had PSATs. But last time I was on, I believe it was the Santino Ferrucci news. Now one of the bigger stories in IndyCar is that, and obviously I think I also touched on Jimmy Johnson retiring, but one of the bigger stories in IndyCar is that 2004 IndyCar champion and 2013 Indianapolis 500 champion Tony Kanaan joins Arrow McLaren SP in, I believe, the 86 or the 88 car. for this year's Indianapolis 500 with Arrow McLaren SP. Now, that is a very good lineup there. So last year you had second place finisher Pato O'Ward, fourth place finisher Felix Rosenquist, third place finisher Tony Kanaan, and fifth place finisher Alexander Rossi, all on one team. So
you have a lineup for
you
sure.
You really do. You really do. I believe that Arrow McLaren kind of wanted to. I don't know if they wanted to go with Kanaan, so to say, because I think they kind of wanted Montoya, to be honest, again. But I don't think Montoya had any interest in running the 500 again. At least that's from what I read. So, again, they bring TK in that spot. And, again, I think he should do very, very, very well there at Arrow McLaren SP. I also think he'll put more time and effort into it than Juan did last year as well, which is good for the team. And I think that four-driver lineup is one of the strongest heading into the month of May.
Is that all the IndyCar news we have today,
Garrett? I have one more. It is that Ed Carpenter Racing signed a development driver, Josh Peterson from Oregon. He will be he's targeting with IndyCar and Ed Carpenter Racing in 2025. So I'd imagine, you know, after Rinus VK's deal, I think he signed another 2-year deal. So I think that puts him out at 24, 25. So again, that's kind of the guy, you know, you want to jump in there and, you know, take over from there. He's 16 years old, again, from Oregon. He's had some racing experience, but again, Ed Carpenter, that's the guy they want to go with in the future. So good for him.
Yeah, agreed, for sure. I know Ed Carpenter Racing is really building up a future with Rinus VK and now with, what was his name? Sorry, Garrett.
It was Josh Peterson.
Josh Peterson. So, I mean, maybe if VK and, you know, Peterson get better equipment, I feel like Carpenter Racing could do really well. And VK could have done a lot better last year if he had better equipment. I'm going to be completely honest. What are your thoughts on that, Garrett?
Yeah, I agree. I think Rinus made some mental mistakes as well.
Yeah, agreed.
Just like in the 500, you know, going out first out on lap, I don't know, around, was it 40, 50-ish?
Something
around
like that.
There, yeah. So, like, again, he had one of the strongest cars all month. And for him to go out that early, definitely, you know. It was on him. He made an error there.
So,
but again, I mean, he's done really well. So
yeah, agreed.
I think, again, he'll be one of the biggest free agents soon. So, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to break, about a 30-second break here. This is All Gas, No Brakes on Indy's Giant 90.9. Up next, we'll dive into some Formula news with the one and only Owen Pulley. This is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player. No matter the challenges I face every day in the NFL, my mom is always there for me, despite her own struggles with muscular dystrophy. And MDA is there for my mom. At their 150 care centers across the U.S., MDA is the leading organization in research and care for kids and adults with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Join me and learn more at helpmda.org today. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on All Gas and No Brakes. I'm Landon Nelson, your host. And now we're going to dive into your Formula One news with the one and only Owen Pullen. Take it away, Owen.
Yeah, so the Sao Paulo Grand Prix just ended, the Brazilian Grand Prix. George Russell takes home his first victory. That's big news there out for the Silver Arrows and Mercedes for George Russell to get his first win. And just overall, great job there. And you texted me, I told you Mercedes would get a win, and they got a 1-2, Lewis Hamilton.
I knew it was going to happen, number man. Two. I didn't lose faith in my boys at Mercedes. I am a Lewis Hamilton ride-or-die fan. What he did before this newer car, I don't know the specific name, I'm just going to call it Next Gen, I guess. I really don't know what the new car was called, but... what he did in what was that era called that he had, like, I forgot how many wins he had and like how many championships.
Turbo hybrid
era, winning 6 championships and a lot of races, too many.
I mean,
to
that
count.
Was just Mercedes that and was, and that was the whole thing with Nico Rosberg when he won an equal machinery.
So yeah, so that's, you know, that's what happened. So that's, I mean, you can't unscript that. I mean, that's just all those numbers. It's just statistics that just line up. So I just knew my boys at Mercedes are going to do well, and I had faith in George Russell, and I'm like, they're going to win at Brazil. Just watch. So George Russell, what an absolute, you know, clinic he put on.
Yeah, and then the top 10 for the Brazilian Grand Prix. Obviously, George Russell at number one, Lewis Hamilton at number two. Both Mercedes in a 1-2. Carlos Sainz Jr. at number three. I don't know why I called him Jr. I mean, he just goes by Carlos Sainz. I was just reading the name off. Carlos Sainz at third and Leclerc in fourth. So double Ferrari, 3-4. So 1-2-3-4, all with two teams. Fernando Alonso cracking the top five with
great race Alpine. For him.
Yeah, great race. Only nine and a half seconds off the leader.
He started, like, I think, like almost dead last. He started like almost dead last because he and Ocon made contact in the sprint and he lost his front wing. So he had to go all the way back in the back in the sprint. So he came from almost, I forgot where he started, but he came from like almost dead last to finish fifth. That is an amazing drive. Fernando Alonso has not lost it, ladies and gentlemen. He still has that magic touch.
Yeah, and Fernando Alonso is not happy with Esteban Ocon. I mean, he came out and said that he was not happy with Esteban Ocon, that he's kind of glad to go to Aston Martin at the end of the year. But Max Verstappen in sixth, so not even cracking the top five this race, 8 points on the race there, adding to his championship season. I mean, he's already won.
Yeah.
He's not really worried about that. He already beat the record of most wins in a season with 14 over Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
Sergio Perez in seventh, Esteban Ocon in eighth, Valtteri Bottas in ninth, and Lance Stroll in tenth.
Good day for Stroll. Good day for Stroll.
Michael Schumacher in 11th. Mick Schumacher in 13th. I read that wrong. I read the wrong German. I saw the German flag, and I read the wrong one. Sebastian Vettel in 11th, so not getting points. But Daniel Ricciardo, Kevin Magnussen, and Lando Norris, so a double McLaren DNF. But Lando Norris in 18th, he was a DNF as well. But Kevin Magnussen, who was on pole after the end of qualifications, obviously the sprint race didn't go so well for him.
He went back to 8th. I mean, it was expected. I mean, that Haas car is nothing compared to the Red Bulls or Ferraris or
it's a tank on or
Mercedes.
Tanks have wheels, but it's a tank on slicks.
Yeah,
pretty
so,
much. It just moves like a tank.
So yeah. Yeah, man, I wasn't, you know, with Lando, he had a mechanical failure, and then I think it was the first lap of the race that Magnussen and Ricciardo wrecked out, and Ricciardo locked up. He was trying to pass, you know, Magnussen down the inside. He was already side by side. It was that corner you were not going to go three wide in. Locked it up, spun Magnussen around, and then Ricciardo tried to, you know, avoid him, went through the grass, but Magnussen was in reverse to get out of the way, and Ricciardo ran right into him.
And Ricciardo,
day.
Ricciardo did get a three-place grid drop for that McLaren outing, his final McLaren outing that he's going to have next week in Abu Dhabi. Or excuse me, this week. It'll be this weekend.
Yep.
November 20th, they head to Abu Dhabi to race at the United Arab Emirates at Yas Marina Circuit for their final race of the season, but he was given a three-place grid drop with the contact with Magnussen in Sao Paulo. But there's some news that is heading out of Ferrari. Mattia Binotto, the team's engineer. I mean, Leclerc and Sainz are not happy with him at all.
Team, like, is it, are they called? I thought they're called like managers.
Like something race, like that. The energy.
He's the manager now.
He's the manager. Okay, so. But anyway, both of the drivers are not happy with him, and I don't think that anybody is. I mean,
I'm not.
There was a point where Leclerc was on the inters and was the only person on inters when there was barely any rain out there. It was terrible. It was bad. But we talked about this earlier over text that you said Lewis has a chance to win 8. And I think that I don't 100% agree with you, but I think I can get on board. But we were talking, and I think that Mercedes needs to fix their straight line speed, and I think that car next year can be a big thing.
I feel like, you know, next year, what I saw at Brazil, I mean, Red Bull's got them, so they got a problem next year with. I mean, they already had the cost cap, they hit the cost cap, so they can't, you know, invest a lot more in their car anymore.
That is true.
So next year they're not going to be as good. I mean, they're still going to be good. Don't get me wrong, but they're not. I mean, them hitting the cost cap is not great. Mercedes hasn't, Ferrari hasn't, so Mercedes are going to build them a car next year and get Lewis back to being contending in a championship. And, you know, I feel like he's going to win his eighth title next year. I'm just going to say it right now. I feel like, you know, what happened in, you know, 2021 was and he should have been an eighth world title then, eighth world time champion then, but that didn't happen. So he's going to win eighth. He's going to win an eighth before he retires. I'm saying it here, saying it now.
Okay, I might be able to get on board with that, but I think that it'll be interesting to see George next year as well.
Oh, yeah.
With that, Cars, you're listening to All Gas on WBD, All Gas No Breaks on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But I think that George Russell could be one of those guys who is one of those guys who could be better than Max Verstappen in the future.
Max Verstappen's a very
good
be completely honest, Max, for some of Max Verstappen's decisions when he drives, driving style, sometimes it's very questioning. I mean, him and Hamilton made contact. It was kind of like a racing incident, but I feel like Verstappen, you know, I think Lewis was trying to go around the outside, and I feel like Verstappen just washed him up and made contact, which cost him Verstappen had a chance to win the race. It cost him his winning race, and then Lewis fought all the way back to finish P2 at the end of the day. So, I mean, driver errors and just being too aggressive at the wrong times, but honestly, Max Verstappen is one of the best talents out there, and not saying George can't be, but yeah, so
I'm looking at the racing line right now and how it went. So it was a left-handed turn. Hamilton took the inside. Verstappen had the outside. And then it immediately went into a chicane of a right-handed turn. And Verstappen took the inside. But instead of Hamilton giving him room, he kind of pushed it on the inside and got pushed out. I think it's a racing incident.
That's what I thought. It was a racing incident.
But I think there's no ill intent. But I do think if you had to place a blame on somebody, it would be Lewis.
Yeah. I could see that, too. It was kind of like in the moment, I was like, well, I'm just like trying to get by him, try to get past Verstappen. I mean, they made contact all year 2021. They made contact this year. But, I mean, if you're Hamilton there, you are not trying to let Verstappen by. You are trying to get around him ASAP because your teammate is out and is ahead. And, you know, you have a teammate 1-2, you could, you know, Verstappen has a huge run. You could give him, you know, a lot of problems trying to pass you and slow up his time to try to catch your teammate, the teammate in Russell. So, yeah, man, it's just, so is Binotto going to be fired or like what's going on with that?
I think he will be, honestly. I think that they're going to fire him.
I'm
kind of glad they are.
Yeah, I'm honest, I'm a Mercedes and Ferrari fan. That's, you know, those are my teams. And it's like, Binotto's made plenty of mistakes. Honestly, I wish that Sebastian Vettel was still there. I mean, Binotto gave him 1 year and just was like, no, 2 years. 2020 was their worst year on the horrible car. And just like, you're done here. So they couldn't reach an agreement or something like that. Or they didn't, I don't know. But Seb left. And
I think that he'd still be racing if he didn't go to Aston Martin. Next year, I think that if he was in a more competitive car, heck, even an AlphaTauri, going back to his beginning days at Toro Rosso, if he was back in an AlphaTauri, I think that he'd still be racing. I don't think that his contract, or he'd be retiring.
It was just like, there was not a lot of driver, you know, spots, you know, driver spots left for, you know, when he drove for them in 2021, their first year, and they very much underperformed. I was really expecting them to, like, you know, do really well at the beginning, but they didn't. So it was just a rough year, and it's just like, it's sad to see, you know, veterans go like that, especially about 4-time world champions, won 53 Grand Prix. I mean, it's just sad to say, but.
Yeah, and speaking of wins and seats and stuff like that, I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about that with you and go through that for next year's seats. Only two open spots, still looking for two spots in the F1. I think that they could be filled, possibly. I think that there's a chance for them to be filled by, I know one is almost guaranteed and the other one possibly not, but we're going to go through it right now. Red Bull, Verstappen, and Perez obviously running that one more time. Here, Leclerc and Sainz at Ferrari, Hamilton and Russell at Mercedes, Norris and Oscar Piastri at McLaren. So the rookie coming up through the F2 like guy.
He's going to be great. I'm a lot of praise for Oscar Piastri. He's going to have, I think he's going to be great at McLaren. Yeah.
Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guan Yu at Alfa Romeo. Gasly and Ocon at Alpine. So Gasly moving from.
I told you that was going to happen.
From AlphaTauri.
At Alpine that was going to happen. They have two French drivers. That's really cool. So
I am glad to see two French drivers at Alpine. That is pretty cool. Nick DeVries at AlphaTauri next up with Yuki Tsunoda.
Nick DeVries deserves a Formula One seat.
I thought he was going to be a Williams guy.
Hey, you got better. I mean, unless Williams just builds them a really good car next year, but AlphaTauri is probably going to have a better car than them next year. But, I mean, he could be like, you know, I don't know. Now he's in the Red Bull Driving Academy. Or if he is, I mean, you could go there. You don't have to be, but, I mean, he could be. He could be not. He could be like, you know, I'm going to be here for a couple years and just go leave it. You never know. So, yeah. Leave AlphaTauri.
Moving over to Haas, Kevin Magnussen in an open seat. So could we see the return of Mick Schumacher? Could we see Daniel Ricciardo going over there? Could we see a different driver coming over to the seat? I mean, that's just kind of the questions we have asked here. We don't really know. Oh, yeah, and you guys are talking about Nico Hülkenberg. Oh, he did get it confirmed?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. So Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, Nico Hulkenberg.
When did that get released?
Like 2 days ago or something.
Oh, I know news of that. So Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg racing together at Haas.
They go way back in rivalries, and there's been a lot of interviews. I mean, there are times when Magnussen forced Hülkenberg off the track. It's, ESPN right here.
I never got any news of
Nico
that.
Nico Hülkenberg set to replace Mick Schumacher at Haas. Hülkenberg, thank you, Max, has a lot of experience, and I mean, he's never been on the podium, which that's sad. He's drove in decent equipment. He's had chances, but that's just never happened. But a ton of experience. He's just you need Hülkenberg. He's like one of a comedic guy, and he brings experience, and he's a good driver. I'm not saying
Yeah, that is pretty cool to see there. But Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll racing at Aston Martin, obviously with the retirement of Sebastian Vettel. That was really the first move of the offseason, that's going to be in the offseason, was Fernando Alonso moving over to Aston Martin. And for Williams, Alexander Albon, and most likely, hasn't signed yet, Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, my thoughts on Logan Sargeant, if he gets signed to Williams, I love it.
American driver
in Formula One. That's awesome. Like, you're gonna be seeing me wear my Logan Sargeant merch.
Oh, I'll buy some.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because when was the last? We haven't had an American driver in Formula One since the '80s.
2015.
Well, Alexander Rossi.
Rossi was a reserve driver.
Yeah, but I mean that actually raced. It was the '80s. So, that's awesome. I can't wait. You're gonna be seeing me wear Logan Sargeant merch. I hope he does really well at Williams. Williams has had, I mean, they've gotten a lot better this year. You look at Belgium, Alexander Albon's brought a lot of talent to that team, and they've gotten a lot better this year compared to years past. So, look at Nick DeVries getting points on his debut at Italy in Williams. That's amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good news to see an American F1 driver coming in. I mean, we talked about it a couple times. I didn't think that was going to happen after Nick DeVries came on the scene, really, and got in an F1 seat, got in a Williams seat to race and do some. He did some FP1 and a couple of tracks and everything like that. But I thought that Nick DeVries was almost locked in at Williams, so I did not think that Logan Sargeant really had a chance to get up to F1. But as soon as Nick DeVries signed with AlphaTauri, I was like, oh yeah, that's Logan Sargeant's seat. That's Logan Sargeant's seat to lose right now, honestly. But yeah. Moving away from that, now that there's really no open seats, I mean, with Hülkenberg confirming to Haas, thank you to Max for that information, and with Logan Sargeant almost guaranteed in that Williams seat, what do you think this is for Daniel Ricciardo?
Reserve driver. He's going to be a reserve driver, or he's not going to race IndyCar.
What team, though? What team do you think he would go for?
Red Bull. I think he's going to return back to Red Bull.
That would be cool to see.
That'd be really cool. I think he's returned to Red Bull. Or, okay, hold on. So, Perez will be needing another contract in 2023. So, he's going to need another contract.
That would be cool to see him go back to Red Bull,
which,
Daniel Ricciardo.
I'm going to bring this up. Perez has had a fantastic year this year. I'm going to be honest. He's had a great year. He's won two races this year going against Max Verstappen. I mean, he honestly should have three races won. I mean, you look at Spain. He's been very consistent all year long. But we're going to talk about Brazil and what happened. So it was when I believe when Verstappen had to make Checo let Checo by, and he didn't let him by. And they came across the line, and you know his race Verstappen's race engineer, and he's like, no, mate, you know my reasons. And he's referring, I guess, back to Monaco when he crashed. It could be.
Yeah, when Perez was crashed, and then which caused Sainz to turn around, and
yeah,
or was Sainz crashed? I can't remember.
No,
Sainz was
Perez.
Crashed.
Perez crashed.
He did, and then Sainz didn't. No warning was given.
Yeah.
So Sainz just kind of almost ran into him and
so
almost made
it
contact.
Canceled. It qualifying was over after that. Cost him a pole position to win at Monaco.
And Perez ended up winning that Monaco race.
And there was also, you know, I heard, so I was looking around, I think it was like racingnews.com or something like that. I forgot, Racing Net. It's some, it's, you know, the yellow, Max, you know what I'm talking about? The yellow logo that...
Is it motorsport.com?
Yeah, motorsport.com, that he deliberately crashed. Perez deliberately crashed at Monaco. So that's supposedly he did that. And that also probably ticked off Max. It's just like, you know, Perez has done a lot for Max. I'm going to be honest. I mean, look at Abu Dhabi and you look at... that's awesome. Yeah, he looked at, you know, you look at, you know, Abu Dhabi, he, you know, helped Max win the title. I mean, he tried to fend off Lewis with older tires, and then he gave him the position away at Spain. The list goes on and on, I'm going to be honest. So, I mean, he's given him positions when he's needed them, given Max positions when he needed them, and, you know, his strategies are thrown out the water because of trying to help Max and, you know, stuff like that. So he's done a lot. And then Perez goes on the radio again. That's the type of person he is. You really know the type of person he is. So, yeah.
So I was showing you a stat with Kevin Magnussen's pole. He became the 24th person from a different nation. So 24 different nations have had a pole in F1 now, which is pretty cool to see.
Is that all it, man, for Formula 1?
There is one more thing that I wanted to talk about, kind of going back to Daniel Ricciardo real quick. It's just unfortunate. I mean, you have Lando Norris, who's in seventh place right now with 113 points and one podium. And then you have... Daniel Ricciardo all the way down 12th with 35 points, 0 wins, 0 podiums. So it's just an unfortunate thing. Yeah. I mean, they're driving equal cars now. Now you probably, with how Lando is, and you probably have given him a little bit more upgrades with stuff like that, but it's not like he's driving a Mercedes and Ricciardo is driving a Haas. Like, there's a difference. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So it's just unfortunate to see. I like Ricciardo a lot. He's a great guy, and he's a good driver, except... just this year has not been his year at all.
No.
So.
Not one bit. Is that it, buddy? All right, here we
go. Yeah, that's all my news.
Well, that's all the time we have for today on All Gas and No Brakes. I hope everyone listening and in Indianapolis has a fantastic day. And don't forget to tune in to All Gas and No Brakes every Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. See you guys in the next episode. Goodbye. Remember, this is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.